Please get your Bibles and turn them to Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21 for our scripture reading. And then our text for this morning's message is Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. So first of all, let us read Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Let's see if I have the right one. You know what? I'm reading the wrong one. Did I say Luke 15? Luke 12. Sorry. Luke chapter 12. Verses 15 through 21. But that's a good sign. That means you are listening to me. Let's read verse 15. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he, referring to Jesus, spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" And then let's read our text, which is Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." Or in the ESV, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. Do you have plans for the year 2018? For sure you do. What are they? Perhaps this year you plan to get married or continue your studies or look for a different job or maybe buy a house or travel abroad. Well, whatever your plans may be, as you plan for this year, consider what God teaches us in our text. "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Or one version puts it this way: people may plan all kinds of things, but the Lord's will is going to be done. There are three things, three basic lessons about planning that we can glean from this verse. And I will give them to you one by one. Here's the first one. Unless our plans are part of God's eternal plan, they will not succeed. Now, before I elaborate my first point, let me clarify this, that our text does not discourage us from making plans. It does not forbid you and me to plan. In fact, God Himself is calling us to plan carefully. We read that in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. Or plan carefully and you will have plenty. And so according to this verse, we are to plan carefully. And yet, as we make plans, let us realize that our plans are subordinate to God's eternal plan. God's plan is supreme over all our plans. And therefore, not all that we plan will come to pass. Not all that you plan to do or to acquire this year 2018 will prevail. Only those plans that are part of God's eternal plan. In fact, the word plans in our text comes from the Hebrew verb kaushab. Kaushab, which means to think of something that you want to do. That's why in the ESV we read, many are the plans in the mind of a man. These plans are your thoughts. Things that are going on in your mind. Things that you intend to accomplish or acquire. Actually, in the original, the word for, or the Hebrew word for mind can also be translated as heart. And I think that's what we see here in the NIV. We also see the same rendition in the King James Version. There are many plans in a man's heart. And we all know that in the Bible, heart is regarded as the center of life. And so really, your plans occupy the center of your life. These are the things that you care about. The things that motivate you to live. For instance, in the parable of the rich fool, a parable which illustrates the sin of covetousness, here we see the rich fool making plans. Plans that occupy his entire life. He said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. He has made selfish and greedy plans. Oh, but listen to what God says in our text. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And the word purpose here comes from the Hebrew verb that means to determine. And so, before the foundation of the world, God has already determined things that must happen. And we call this His eternal decree, or His counsel, His eternal plan, His eternal purpose. And I think the analogy is like this. Before the creation of the universe, all the members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit met. They had a council meeting, as it were. And they already decided the things that must happen in the future. They already determined that which must happen. And so, here's my first point, unless our plans are part of God's eternal decree, they will not succeed. And so I ask you again, do you have plans for this year? What are your thoughts occupying your mind and even your heart? Well, remember this, that even before you were born, God had already made a plan for you. And unless your plan is compatible with His plan, your plan will not prosper. You may have heard of the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," written by Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven was engaged to be married, but the night before the wedding, his fiance accidentally drowned. And few years later, he became engaged again. But shortly before the wedding, his fiance became ill and died. And so Joseph Scriven remained unmarried for the rest of his life. He planned twice to get married, but that plan was not according to God's eternal plan. Therefore, it did not succeed. What happened to Joseph Scriven might happen to you. Maybe this year you plan to get married. This year you plan to have children. You plan to graduate from high school and go to college. You plan to buy a house. You plan to visit this place and that place. But again, remember this. Unless your plan is part of God's eternal plan, it will not happen. God may say to you at the beginning of this year, this night your soul is required of you. You might get sick and die before the year 2018 ends. And you might think that I am scaring you. Far from it. No, I am not. I am simply telling you the truth, so that you will learn to commit your plans to the Lord. So that you will come to God and say, "Lord, please bless my plans." Or even say to Him, "Lord, please show me Your will. I want to do Your will, not my own will." You see, in the parable of the rich fool, he did not commit his plans to God. That's why Proverbs 3 tells us, "Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Be not wise in your own eyes." We need to learn also to qualify our plans. We need to say, "The Lord willing." You know, sometimes people laugh when they hear us say that. "See you tomorrow, the Lord willing." Why do you need to add that phrase, "the Lord willing"? Well, because we're not sure if we're still alive tomorrow. And so we say, "I will see you tomorrow. I will see you next week, if the Lord wills." Because I don't know what will happen to me tomorrow or next week. We are simply acknowledging the fact that God is sovereign over us. We are humbly submitting our plan to His plan. And so the question is, are you submitting to God's sovereign will? We need to learn to pray with Jesus, "Father, if You are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want Your will to be done, not mine." Not mine. David Livingstone planned to go to China, but God led him to Africa to be its missionary statesman, general, and explorer. Alexander Mackay prepared for work in Madagascar, but was directed to Uganda to aid in founding one of the most remarkable missions in the world. William Carey proposed to go to the South Sea, but was guided divinely to India to give the Bible in their native tongue to its teeming millions. There you see, God knows what is best for us. Therefore, let us learn to submit humbly and quietly to God's sovereign will. And may I tell you this, that the best place to be is in the will of God. Wherever you are, if you are doing the will of God, you are in the best place. Wherever you are, if you are following God's will, you are in the best place in this world. And remember this, that the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And that's our comfort as believers in the Lord. Here's my second point, the second lesson that we can glean from our text regarding planning. No one or nothing can stop God from accomplishing His eternal plan. Read again our text. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Or nevertheless, in our Pew Bible here, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, the Lord's plan, that will stand. God's eternal plan will always stand. That is to say, it will be fulfilled. Whatever God says in His Word will come to pass. His plan cannot fail. It cannot fall. And for that reason, no one can hinder God from fulfilling His eternal decree. In our text, we read, there are many plans in a man's heart. There are many plans in the mind of a man. Now note, there are many plans. Plural. There are many plans in your heart, in my heart. And let's confess that not all our plans are good. Some of our plans, if not most of them, are bad. And of course, here the author of Proverbs is speaking generally. That the people in this world, yes, they have plans. They have numerous plans. And most of their plans are bad, wicked, evil. And we see for example, the ISIS, whose plan is nothing but to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see many persecutors whose plan is nothing but to stop God from spreading the seed of the gospel. But here in our text, we are being assured that no one can stop God from accomplishing His eternal decree. You know, Paul, he tried, remember, before his conversion? He tried, he attempted to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to kill all the followers of Jesus. But we know what happened. On the way to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ in a very special way. And Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And we know the rest of the story. God frustrated Paul's wicked plan. Psalm 33 verse 10 says, the Lord frustrates the plans of the peoples. Paul could not stop God from spreading the gospel because it was God's plan that His word be spread. Yes, yes, our persecutors, they may chain us. They may bind us. They may put us to jail. But they cannot chain the hands of God from spreading the gospel. As Martin Luther says in his well-beloved hymn, a mighty fortress is our God, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Now, do we actually believe this truth? Do we believe this? That no one can hinder God from accomplishing His eternal decree? If we do, then let us keep serving the Lord in the midst of all our discouragements. You watch news or you listen to news and you can easily be discouraged. Just 3 days ago, I read this headline. Christian persecution and genocide is worse now than any time in history. And that is true. We may not realize this, but in other parts of the world, persecution is escalating. A number of Christians are dying, being killed, being murdered. And you sometimes wonder, Lord, where are you? What are you doing, oh God? What now? What will happen to the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, we have this assurance from our text that no one can stop God from gathering His elect, those whom He has chosen from eternity past. And no one can stop the Church of Christ from growing. Let me tell you this, the Church of Jesus Christ will keep growing and growing and growing even in the midst of great persecution. Isaiah 14 verse 27 says, I, the Lord, all powerful, have made these plans. No one can stop now. Even you. I don't care who you are. No one, you cannot frustrate God's eternal plan. He can frustrate your plan, but you cannot frustrate His plan. His plan will prevail. And really, that's our encouragement as Christians too in this pilgrimage. As we run the race, we know that our victory is assured. And finally, final lesson from this text. Nothing happens outside God's eternal plan. God's eternal decree is fixed. You cannot change that which God has decreed to happen from eternity past. It will and it must happen. It's fixed. It's unchangeable, His eternal counsel. What God has determined to happen from eternity past will surely happen. Therefore, we can say that nothing happens by chance or accident or luck. In fact, in our Heidelberg Catechism, we read Lord's Day 10, all things come to us not by chance, but from our God's fatherly hand. Now, take note. All things come to us not by chance, but from our God's fatherly hand. Health and sickness come from our God's fatherly hand. If you have cancer, that cancer has come to you from our Heavenly Father. If by the grace of God your health is good, that blessing of health that you enjoy right now is a blessing from God. That disease that you have, sickness that you have, pain that you have in your body, it comes from God. Prosperity and poverty, both come from our God's fatherly hand. When you lost your job, that happened because it was part of God's eternal decree. If the Lord is blessing you materially, that blessing, that material blessing, financial blessing that you enjoy is a blessing from God. Birth and death. The Lord bless you with a child, with a son or with a daughter. That baby that you have is a blessing from the Lord. Death is also a thing that comes from God. When you lost your loved one, when you had a miscarriage, that happened within God's eternal plan. There is no such thing as chance or accident. That's why we don't believe in chance or luck, but rather we believe in God's providence. Actually, the word providence comes from the Latin word providentia. Providentia. And this Latin word is a combination of two words. Pro, meaning ahead, and then videntia or videre, which means to see. That's why we have the English word video. Video. Pro video. Pro ahead, video to see. So literally, providence means to see ahead. And what this doctrine is teaching us is this, that our God has the ability to see things ahead. And therefore, nothing happens outside His notice. And for that reason, the Bible can say that even the hairs of your head are all numbered. None of your hairs fall without God's notice and outside His eternal plan. Think about that. When you took a shower this morning, for sure maybe a hair fell. When that happened, even that, as insignificant as it was, that happened within God's eternal plan. God knows exactly how much hair you have. And you might ask, so what? What does it mean to me? Well, it means a lot. This is our comfort. That means that nothing happens to us by accident, that all things are happening to us according to God's eternal plan. And we know that God's plan is always for our good and for His glory. It is always for our good and for His glory. You know, Joseph, the dreamer, said to his brothers who sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver in Genesis 50 verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Interestingly enough, the word meant here comes from the same Hebrew word, kaushab. Remember I told you earlier that the term plan in our text comes from the Hebrew word kaushab, meaning to determine. And so you can read Genesis 50 verse 20 in this way: "As for you, you kaushab, you planned evil against me." Joseph's brothers, they planned evil against their brother. But Joseph said, but God planned it for good. God overruled your plan. And God used your evil plan for my advantage, for my good. And really, God's specialty is to make good out of bad. To make good out of bad. And Romans 8:28 confirms that when Paul says, "And we know And I sometimes wonder if we really know this. Or maybe we have forgotten this precious, glorious truth. But Paul says, and we know. If you are a believer in Christ, you should know this. And we know that for those who love God, all things, without exception, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose, according to His plan. So you see, all things are happening according to God's eternal plan, which is ultimately for our advantage and for His adoration. And we should rejoice in this precious truth. We should find comfort and joy in this blessed teaching. Oh, I know, but you might ask, Pastor Brian, you have no idea. I just lost my spouse. We just lost our child. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Or maybe you say, you have no idea. All things work together for my good. My husband cheated on me. My spouse committed adultery. What was good about that? Again, I'm sorry to hear that. But let me tell you something. God can overrule even our sin to accomplish His eternal, wonderful plan. Let me give you an example. Remember David. David, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. It was not good. He sinned against God. Adultery was not good. It was sin. But see what God did to David's sin. God overruled that sin to accomplish His eternal plan. Because through Bathsheba, Solomon was born. And we know that the Messiah came out of the lineage of Solomon. God used that sin of adultery, to accomplish His eternal plan. And I think the best example that I can give to you to illustrate that point is this. God defeated the devil using the very evil of the cross. If I may ask you, how did God defeat the devil? What did God use to destroy the devil? God used the evil of the cross to destroy the devil. Think about that. God overruled that sin when people shouted, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Little did they know that God was going to use crucifixion. The crucifixion of His Son. It was evil, it was wicked to crucify the Son of God, the sinless God-man. And yet God used the evil of the cross to destroy the devil and to bring good out of that evil cross. Now, does it mean that we have the license to sin? Does it mean that, well, okay, if that's the case, then I'll just keep sinning? No! The Bible says, shall we then continue in sinning that grace may abound? God forbid! God forbid! And yet, we have this comfort that even when we sin, God can use that sin to accomplish His eternal plan. He can overrule your sin, the sin of your child, the sin of your parents, the sin of your fellow member in the Lord. God can use that for your good. For your good. And so as we make plans for the new year 2018, let's remember, first of all, Unless our plans are part of God's eternal plan, they will not succeed. Second, no one or nothing can stop God from accomplishing His eternal plan. And finally, nothing happens outside God's eternal plan. And God's plan, I repeat again, is always for our good and for His glory. Yes, always. I know. Maybe silently you are saying, but Pastor, you have no idea. I have so much pain in my body. You have no idea. I have been diagnosed recently with cancer or with a certain disease. Again, I'm sorry to hear that. But even that is for your good. Let me end with this illustration. A fable tells of a little piece of wood that once complained bitterly because its owner kept whittling away at it, cutting it and filling it full of holes. But the one who was cutting it paid no attention to its complaining. He was making a flute out of that piece of wood, and he was too wise to give up because the wood moaned so piteously. His action seemed to say, "Little piece of wood, without these holes and all this cutting, you would be an ugly stick forever. Just a useless piece of wood. What I am doing now may make you think that I am destroying you, when actually I am changing you into a flute whose sweet music will comfort sorrowing hearts. My cutting you is the making of you, for only thus can you be a blessing to the world." And so you ask, what is God's purpose or plan in giving me this affliction or that suffering? Well, ultimately, to conform you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. God is not destroying you by giving you that affliction or trial. He is actually recreating you. He is changing you from glory to glory until you become like Jesus Christ. And so thank God for whatever He gives to you. It is for your good. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for Your eternal decree, which is indeed for our profit and for Your praise. We pray that You would help us to submit to Your sovereign will, knowing that Your will is always the best for us, and that indeed the best place to be is in Your will. And so help us to do Your will. Help us to seek Your will, not our will. And help us to pray with Jesus, "Your will be done and not ours." We thank You also that Your church will continue to grow, that no one, even Satan, as powerful as he is, he cannot stop You from gathering Your elect. And we thank You that one day Jesus will come again, and that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.